Tonight's message is called How to Overcome. How to Overcome. And friend, you may be walking with Christ today in your life. You may be today a follower of Christ. But maybe tonight you're dealing with an issue that many believers in Christ deal with. And that issue is your past. Maybe your mind is going back to the wrongs you committed in the past, maybe such as lying, cheating, shoplifting, verbally abusing somebody. And I'm here to tell you tonight that if you continue to dwell on your past sins, you'll imprison yourself in a jail cell called the past. If you continue to look into the rearview mirror of your life, you'll never go forward with the greater purpose God has got for you. Remember this, God has got a purpose, God has got a destiny, He's got something for you to do on this earth. Leave the past where it belongs in the past. Amen? Remember what I just said. If you keep looking into the rear view mirror of your life, you'll never be able to go forward with God's purpose and destiny for you. Remember this, you're not on this earth by accident. You are not a mistake. If somebody in the past told you that you were a mistake, that person was lying. That's the devil, who's a liar and the father of lies. God has got a purpose. He's got a destiny for you. Let's turn to Jeremiah 29, verse 11 real quick. Jeremiah 29, if you got a Bible, you can read it with me. If not, I'll read it. Jeremiah 29, 11. God speaking through Jeremiah to the captives in Babylon. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And so tonight, God is saying He knows the plans He has for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. You're not a spare part in this world. God has got a purpose. God has got a plan for you. Maybe His plan, His purpose for you is the ministry of helps. To set up the chairs, to take these chairs down. Maybe His purpose, His plan for you is to go on the streets of downtown Tulsa and share the gospel with one person at a time. Maybe His purpose for you is to become a nurse at some point. Maybe His purpose and destiny for you is to start a business which will help advance the kingdom of God. Maybe God has it for you to write a book that will help advance His kingdom. Remember, you're not a mistake and you're not on this earth by accident. Say it with me. God has got a purpose for my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. And remember, friend, if you keep looking at that rear view mirror of your life, you cannot go forward with the purpose that God has for you. Amen. How many want to go forward with the purpose that God has for you? So tonight, my word of encouragement is stop looking in the rear view mirror of your life. Amen? Amen? Tonight's passage is Revelation 12, verses 7 through 11. Revelation 12, verses 7 through 11. We'll look at this passage allegorically, a reflection of God and good against evil. Revelation 12, verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down." Verse 11, the key verse, "They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death." All right, we talked about your past here just a few moments ago, right? So who's the accuser in this passage? The accuser is the devil. He's the one who continually tries to charge you with the wrongdoings of your past. The devil would want to weigh you down with guilt and condemnation. He would want you to be imprisoned in the past. Okay, so my word to you tonight is this, is when he tries to whisper into your ears your past, remind him of his future. What is his destiny according to Revelation 20, verse 11? His destiny, his future is the lake of burning sulfur eternally, where he will be tormented day and night. Let me say it again. When the devil tries to whisper into your spiritual ears your past and your past sins, remind him of his future, eternal torment. Says the accuser of the brothers in Revelation 12:10. And then he says, who accuses them before our God day and night. So not only does the devil, the accuser, try to accuse you directly, but he attempts to continually charge you with your wrongdoings before the judge of the universe, God the Father. It's unbelievable, isn't it? So he tries to accuse us directly, but he also tries, as I said, to continually charge us with our wrongdoings before the judge of the universe, God the Father, creator of heaven and earth. So for the next few minutes, we're going to talk about how to overcome the accuser. For the next few minutes, we're going to talk about how we overcome and have victory over the accuser. It's found in Revelation 12, verse 11. And it says this, they overcame him, we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. So when the devil tries to bring up to your mind your past sins, remind him that the blood of Christ shed on that cross over 2,000 years ago is advocating on your behalf. John, when he saw Jesus coming toward him in John 1:29, said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Remind the devil that the blood of Jesus Christ shed on that cross over 2,000 years ago is advocating on your behalf, on my behalf. The blood of Jesus Christ is our defense attorney. Could you say amen here tonight?
Amen.
See, when the devil tries to repeatedly charge you with wrongdoing before the judge of the universe, I could see God saying to him, when he accepted my son, Jesus Christ, as Savior, when she accepted my son, Jesus Christ, as Savior, she was clothed with the blood of Jesus Christ, my son. I could see God saying to him, on the day of his salvation, on the day of her salvation, I saw him, I saw her clothed with the blood of my son, Jesus Christ. I saw him, I saw her as a brand new creation. Amen?
Yes.
See, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, God clothed you with a robe of righteousness. Your sins were thrown into a sea of forgetfulness. Isn't that awesome? So all the sins you committed up until the day that you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord were forgiven and forgotten by God. Let me say that again. All of the sins that you committed up until the day that you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord were forgiven and forgotten by God. They were thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. Amen? Is that good news here tonight? All right, so I'm going to read an illustration to you. It's called, and you've probably heard this before, but it bears repeating tonight. It's called The Duck and the Devil. There was a little boy visiting his grandparents on their farm. He was given a slingshot to play with out in the woods. He practiced in the woods, but he could never hit the target. Getting a little discouraged, he headed back for dinner. As he was walking back, he saw Grandma's pet duck. Just out of impulse, he let the slingshot fly, hit the duck square in the head, and killed it. He was shocked and grieved. In a panic, he hid the dead duck in a wood pile, only to see his sister watching. Sally had seen it all, but she said nothing. After lunch the next day, Grandma said, Sally, let's wash the dishes. But Sally said, Grandma, Johnny told me he wanted to help in the kitchen. Then she whispered to him, remember the duck. So Johnny did the dishes. Later that day, Grandpa asked if the children wanted to go fishing, and Grandma said, "I'm sorry, but I need Sally to help make supper." Sally just smiled and said, "Well, that's all right, because Johnny told me he wanted to help." She whispered again, "Remember the duck." Sneaky little girl, right? So Sally went fishing and Johnny stayed to help. After several days of Johnny doing both his chores and Sally's, he finally couldn't stand it any longer. He came to Grandma and confessed that he had killed the duck. Grandma knelt down, gave him a hug, and said, "Sweetheart, I know. You see, I was standing at the window and I saw the whole thing, but because I love you, I forgave you. I was just wondering how long you would let Sally make a slave of you." So the lesson is this: whatever is in your past, whatever you have done, and the devil keeps throwing it up in your face, lying, cheating, debt, fear, bad habits, hatred, anger, bitterness, whatever it is, you need to know that God was standing at the window when he saw the whole thing. He has seen your whole life. He wants you to know that he loves you and that you are forgiven. He is just wondering how long you will let the devil make a slave of you. The great thing about God is that when you ask for forgiveness, he not only forgives you, but he forgets. It is by God's grace and mercy that we are saved. Amen?
Amen?
So let me say it again. All the sins you committed up until the day you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord were forgiven and forgotten by God. From that point that you accepted Jesus and forward, you become a follower of Christ. And by God's grace and help, you live a godly life. You may get weak and you may slip into some of those past sins, but if you do slip into a sin as you're following Christ, you confess those sins and God is faithful and just and will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Amen? So God sees you as justified. By faith in Christ, Romans 5:1, we are justified. When you think of the word justified, think of this: just as if I had never sin. Say it with me tonight. Justified.
Justified.
By faith in Christ,
I'm justified.
Just as if I had never sinned.
Never sinned.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, so the devil sees you as well. You got to remember this. The devil also sees you clothed with the blood of Christ. He doesn't want you to know that he sees you clothed with the blood of Christ, but he sees you clothed with the blood of Christ if you're following Jesus Christ, if you've professed faith in Jesus. He sees you as a person of authority because the blood of Christ is on you. And let me give you this analogy, a police officer, for instance. Let's say this guy goes Monday morning to have breakfast at First Watch here in Tulsa, and he just seems like an ordinary civilian, so he goes and he has breakfast, all right? Just an ordinary civilian. But the next morning, Tuesday morning, he goes to First Watch again for breakfast. But he is clothed in his uniform, in his officer's uniform. And so when people see him now, they don't see him as an ordinary civilian. They see him as a police officer with authority. Is that making sense? So let me tell you, it's the same way with the blood of Christ. You are clothed with the blood of Jesus Christ. You are a person of authority. And the enemy knows that, but he doesn't want you to know that he knows that. Is that making sense here tonight?
Yes.
So you have authority. Say it with me. I have authority
by the blood of Jesus Christ
that surrounds and engulfs my life. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. So we overcome the accusations of the devil by the blood of the Lamb, number one, and number two, by the word of our testimony. Because you have authority, the word of God as your testimony overcomes the devil's accusations of your past. Because you have authority as a believer in Jesus Christ, the word of God as your testimony overcomes the devil's accusations of your past. What just terrifies the devil? What terrifies the devil? What terrifies the enemy? What terrifies the enemy? What causes him to run like lightning? The word of God. The word of God on your lips. Let me tell you, you as a person of authority with the word of God on your lips, speaking that word of God out, will cause the enemy to run. Will cause him to run. But here's the thing, here's the key. You've got to have the word of God on the inside of you. You've got to have that word of the testimony on the inside of you. In other words, you've got to be reading this book, the Bible, on a consistent basis. Not just at Easter, not just at Christmas, not just once in a blue moon. You've got to be reading the Word of God on a daily basis. It is your spiritual food. How many like to have breakfast only once a week? Anybody? Anybody? No, right? You like to have breakfast daily if you could, right? Because it gives you energy, physical energy for the day's activities. It's the same way with the Word of God. You shouldn't be missing the Word of God. You should be eating this on a daily basis. It will give you spiritual energy. You need to be reading it. You need to be thinking about what you read. You need to be meditating upon what you read. The Word of God has got to become part of you. It's got to be stored up on the inside of you. Because remember, you're a person of authority with the blood of Jesus on you as a follower of Jesus Christ. And when you speak this word as a person of authority, guess what? The devil will have to flee. But to speak this word, you've got to know what the word says. It's got to be stored up on the inside of you. Making sense?
Yeah.
All right. So you need to speak out the word of God when the devil tries to guilt you concerning your past. He's going to try to guilt you. He's going to try to condemn you concerning your past. But as you're following Jesus Christ, as you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, as you're walking the Christian walk, sometimes you will hear that whisper of the enemy trying to bring up the bad things you did in the past. But when he tries to do that, as a person of authority, what do you need to do? You need to speak the word of your testimony. The word of God as your testimony will overcome the accusations of the devil in your life. When he tries to condemn you, what do? You quote Romans 8:1. What does it say in Romans 8:1? You might want to take notes here tonight. Romans 8:1, it says this: therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If he tries to condemn you, if he tries to guilt you, you tell him, devil, I'm a person of authority and you know it. And the word of God says in Romans 8:1 that there is no condemnation for me because I am in Christ Jesus. I walk not after the flesh, but I walk after the Spirit. You're quoting the word to him. 2 Corinthians. Next one, 5:17. He tries to say, you know what? You're just a messed up person and you did so many bad things in your past. You say, no, I don't think so. It says in God's word in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. When I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord, I became a brand new creation, you old devil. I became a brand new slate. My sins, my wrongdoings were cast into the sea of forgetfulness. And I'm going to see myself as God sees me, justified, just as if I had never sinned. Is that good news here tonight? When he tries to condemn you, bring up John 1:29. When John saw Jesus coming toward him, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You let him know that when you get weak and you start to slip, he tries to accuse you and condemn you. You tell him, you know what? If I confess my sins, he is faithful and just and will cleanse me from all unrighteousness. You quote Philippians 4:19, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And then the other one that we talked about earlier is Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. When he tries to put you down and say, man, because you lied, you don't have a future, you don't have a destiny, because you shoplifted, you'll never be able to get a job in the retail industry at like a Walmart or a Target. You just tell him, you know what? That's under the blood of Christ. God's word says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. God has got a plan for my life. He's got a destiny for my life. And you got to speak these words over yourself every morning when you look at yourself in the mirror. Speak the word of God over your life on a continual basis. You've got to have that word of God stored up on the inside of you. He might be trying, the devil might be trying to say to you, you know what, you shoplifted in the past, you won't be able to get a job. You just tell him, I am justified just as if I had never shoplifted. I am going forward with the greater plan and destiny and purpose that God has for my life. You may have down-talked or abused verbally a person of the opposite sex in the past, and he might be trying to accuse you, and maybe he's telling you that you'll never have a spouse again because of what you did in the past. You tell him, no, I'm justified just as if I had never verbally abused that person. I am going forward with the plan, the purpose, the destiny that God has for my life. How do we overcome the accusations of the accuser, of the devil, who is the father of lies? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. That makes it, so if you remember nothing else tonight, remember that. I overcome the accusations of the accuser by the blood of the Lamb. I'm clothed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am a person of authority and by the word of my testimony. Because I'm a person of authority, when I speak the word of God out of my spirit, the devil will flee and he will stop whispering lies into my ears.